Today I want to talk about fathers. I want to talk to you who are dads here today. And I have a few questions for you as we start this morning. What makes you get up every morning? Some may say, well, you know, coffee. Coffee helps me get started with my day, and that might help you get started with your day, but what I'm asking is, whenever you hear the alarm clock go off and you decide to get out of bed, why do you get out of bed? Most would say probably to go to work. I've got to get to my job. I got to get there on time. You know, got to go help take care of the family. Some might say, you know, this is another day God has given to me. It's a blessing to be alive, and I'm going to worship Him today. Ask you another question. Do you look forward to coming home after you get off work? After you get off, maybe you get off at 5 o'clock and you drive home. That car ride home, are you looking forward to seeing your wife, seeing your kids, and being able to spend time with them? Or are you thinking, man, I had a long day at work, and I just, you know, I'm tired. I'm just going to go home. I'm going to eat. I'm going to relax. What do you look forward to? Do you look forward to coming home? Do you have a strong desire to lead your family? Are you passionate about that? Have you accepted that role that God has given you to lead your family? Do you enjoy studying your Bible and going to church? Is that something you like to do, or is that something that, you know, you just do because you have to do? This morning I want to talk about being a spiritually driven dad. There's a lot of decisions that dads have to make every day as the spiritual leaders of the home. And this morning I want to talk about what drives your decisions. What's at the foundation of your in your heart as a leader of your family? You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 6, it says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So you know what God says about this? God says that what drives you and directs you ought to be the spiritual things in life. And when you do this, it brings about peace. It brings about true direction in your life and in your families. But on the flip side, if you're distracted by the flesh, and when it talks about the flesh, it's just talking about things of the world. If you're distracted by your career, kids' extracurricular activities, having a good reputation, anything that's not spiritual, it says it will literally destroy you and your family. There's a lot of thoughts that come into our minds every day, right? I don't know how many thoughts we have a day. There's a lot. There's been stats on that. What I'm talking about is those thoughts that are in your head, you driving those thoughts to make sure that the decisions you make every single day for your kids and for your own life are going to be things that are spiritual. Not things that are of the world like we're talking about just a moment ago. So I want to talk about this. What drives you as a father? You see, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4, it says, fathers, bring them, referring to the children, up in the training and instruction of the Lord. As a father, you must know that this is your role. Now, the society we live in today, the culture we live in today, it's who's raising the kids oftentimes. It's the mom, right? Either a mom or a babysitter, I suppose. Dad's off at work. You know, at one point in time, our culture was a little bit different. At one point in time, before a lot of the stuff came about that we have today, you know, different jobs and stuff, what was common is the dad would work out in the fields. He would be a farmer, and he would bring his son to work with him at a young age. And so he had a lot more time and a lot more influence on his kids. But today, it's very different. Today, the dad is a lot of times off at work, away from the kids. And so the time that you have with your kids, maybe that's in the morning, maybe that's at nighttime, is so important because you just have a little bit of time. But the Bible says that you're the one, this is your role. You are responsible for being the spiritual leader for your kids. That is a huge responsibility. And every day you train them, it says that our instruction as fathers needs to come from God. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of things that can teach us, but it says that that instruction and training must come from the Lord. Psalm 127 puts it like this. It says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth." Children are a heritage of the Lord. It's an amazing blessing that God has actually entrusted dads to have kids. You know, you have such a huge responsibility as a father. You get the choice, you get the responsibility every day to mold and to shape your kids. Every decision you make every day will one day, over time, shape who they become. And it basically compares it to a warrior shooting off an arrow. Now, just raise of hands, how many of you have shot a bow before? Okay, we've got probably a little less than half of us. How many of you have shot a gun at a target before? More people? About the same amount. Well, I've not shot an arrow, but I've shot a gun before. It's very similar. Whenever you're shooting at a target, you have to be very still. You have to be very careful and intentional to try to hit that target. If you just move a little bit while you're shooting it, it goes off. It doesn't hit the target. The bullseye, is they call it. So you have to be careful and intentional in how you guide your kids in hopes of reaching that target. Don't you want your kids to be Christians, to be in the church, to not leave the church, to not care about God? You want the best thing for them. And so what it's saying here is that you're the warrior and they're the arrow, and every day you have to choose how you're going to shoot that arrow towards the target that you're trying to reach, what you want for them in their life. But I want to ask the question, who's the one influencing your leadership? Who's the one that's trying to teach you how to shoot that arrow? Because we all listen to different voices in our lives. There's a lot of different podcasts you can listen to, YouTube, people at work. But there's one common person, or one common being, we'll say, that wants to influence you more, almost more than anybody else. And that's the devil. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, it says, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." All right, I'm going to ask a show of hands again. How many of you have ever seen a lion before in your life? A lion. Okay, that's almost everybody. How many of you have ever seen a lion outside of your house, just roaming around the streets? John has seen a lion outside of his house roaming the streets. I didn't think anybody would raise their hand. Most people don't see that. Back in this time, it was more common to see, you know, lions kind of roaming around. You can remember Samson. You can remember David and their encounters with the lions. It talks about the devil being a lion. Now, whenever I would think about a lion, I would think about, you know, this big, scary lion that's growling at me, that's trying to devour me and eat me and just scare me away. But what the Bible says is that this lion prowls around. You know what that means? That means he's deceptive. That means he's trying to trick you. And so what the lion would do is, you know, he would kind of look around to see, who can I get today? Who can I influence today? Trying to look out for people's weaknesses when they're not on guard, when they're not paying attention. Oftentimes you'll see two lions, and the male lion would try to scare off the prey, would try to scare off whoever they're trying to target. And what would happen is way back, you know, I don't know, we'll just say a couple hundred yards away, is the mama lion. And as that prey is scared of the male lion, goes towards the mama lion, and the mama lion devours them. The devil is called our enemy. Now, I want to make that clear. The devil is our enemy. Your wife is not your enemy. Your kids are not your enemy. The devil is your enemy. The devil wants to destroy you and your kids. And if it can take out you as a father, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a whole lot easier to take out your kids. If the kids don't have a spiritually driven dad in their life, it's going to be a whole lot easier for the devil to devour them. It's going to be a whole lot easier. Now, the exhortation that he says right before this is to be two things. Number one, sober-minded, and to be watchful. Now, when we talk about being sober-minded, we're not just talking about getting drunk, although that is a part of that. What we're talking about is anything that will cloud your judgment. Anything that's going to cloud your judgment whenever you're not seeing life, whenever you're not seeing situations really as they ought to be, but you're seeing them through your set of eyes because you have emotion. Maybe that's anger. You know what's interesting about anger? If you go back a couple, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about putting off these things and putting on those things. You remember that chapter? It talks about being angry and not sinning. It said, "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, and neither give place to the devil." Now, why would Paul tell the Ephesian church, when he's talking about anger, to not give place to the devil? The reason is because the devil can use somebody that's angry and do a lot of damage in their life and in their family's life. And I know that you as a dad struggle with anger. Everybody struggles with anger, and especially dads, because you got a lot of responsibilities. It's stressful. And so you're going to struggle with that. And the Bible says that we need to be sober-minded, because whenever you have anger, the devil's going to get on you and he's going to try to destroy you. He'll use anything he can that's going to cloud your judgment. And it also says to be watchful. To be watchful. We talked a moment about the scenario about somebody looking out for the lion, right? The lion's trying to, you know, deceive you and try to manipulate you, to try to make you to do something wrong, right? Well, when it talks about being watchful, number one, you have to know what your weaknesses are. If you know that you struggle with something, then try to get rid of that whenever it's coming up. If you're getting angry, do something about that. Don't just stay angry. If you're struggling with something and you know that you're weak, you need to try to get stronger. Go to God in prayer, read the Bible, whatever you need to do. But not only that, here's the thing. Not only that, but you need to know what your kids' weaknesses are too. You need to know what's going on outside of your home. What popular music is today. What, you know, what type of songs and lyrics there are and all these people that are famous that are trying to be role models for your kids. You need to know about their friends. You need to know about what's going on at school. Because as soon as they become weak, the devil will try to influence them and destroy them if you're not going to do your job as a dad. That's why we need to be watchful, because that lion is sitting out there every single day trying to destroy you and trying to destroy your kids. And I'll say, he's done a pretty good job at that with people already who have been in the church. Just because you're in the church doesn't make you, you know, where you don't have to worry about that. If anything, you got to be more on guard and more aware and be more sober-minded. And the Bible talks about there being a warrior having the whole armor of God. Ryan read that for us this morning. And it basically says that you have to put on this armor of God so you can stand against the devil, so you can defeat the devil. Because the devil's going to try to manipulate you, try to deceive you like we talked about. And if you have on all these pieces of armor, I know you may not be able to see it, but salvation, righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, truth, faith, the gospel of peace. If you have on this whole armor of God, the Bible says that you're going to be able to stand against that devil, and you're going to be able to kill the devil, to destroy the devil, rather than him destroying you. And so we have to put on this whole armor of God, clothe our family in the armor of God, so that when the devil comes and he tries to destroy us, we'll be ready. There's another concept in Scripture that I think is very important, is it talks about being spiritually driven and recognizing our role as a father. And that's sowing and reaping. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 8, it says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Now, this is a concept that many people agree with. I mean, you could see it today in the world. Most people in the world are probably going to agree with this. The things that you reap, the things that you plant, the things that you sow or the things that you plant is what you reap. I know Zach and his family have been doing some of that at their house. They've been having some onions and some other types of things that they've been planting. You see that. The things that you try to plant, over time, they're going to grow and they're going to become fruitful and spring up. And what it's saying here is that if you're sowing to the things that are spiritual, that one day you're going to reap those things and ultimately have eternal life. And it says in the next verse, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." If we don't give up. Now, I have a question for you. What day, whenever you have this garden and you're planting and you're watering, which day, whenever you watered, made the difference to bring about that fruit or to bring about whatever you're growing? It's not one day, right? It's a combination, it's a combination of days. It's multiple days over time. And so we have to understand that those little seeds that are being planted every day that we're planting in the lives of our kids are one day going to shape them and who they become. And so it begs the question, what seeds are you planting in the lives of your kids? What's most important to you? Not just what you say, but what are you doing in your life and planting in their hearts? Are you more concerned about providing for your family financially or spiritually? Now, some women would say, I have to provide for my family financially. And that's right, you do. You're responsible for that. But I'm going to tell you, there's only a little bit in Scripture about that, and there's a whole lot of Scripture about providing for them spiritually. And financially is just one little piece of providing for them spiritually. And what happens today is we live in a society that has a lot of opportunities, a lot of jobs, a lot of ways to really help your family financially. And those are blessings and those are helpful. But I'll tell you, it becomes really easy to become obsessed with your job and trying to help your family financially rather than spiritually. And it's not one time that you stay late for work. One time if you stay late for work is not going to tear your family apart. But one time leads to another time that 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 leads to another time. And if you're always talking about money rather than God's word, then what do you think your kids are going to talk about when they grow up? What do you think they're going to go after when they grow up? They're going to talk about money. They're going to try to focus their life more about finances rather than what God wants from us and being spiritual. Do your kids' extracurricular activities overtake the spiritual activities? Now, That hits a little bit closer to home for me. I grew up playing baseball. I was at the ball field a lot. My family loved baseball. My dad loved baseball. And so we were going to play baseball. But I can tell you, because of my dad being intentional and caring about the spiritual things, I can't recall one time that we ever missed church to go to a game. Not one time. Now, that's not to say, look at my dad. He's awesome and great. He has his own problems. But you know what happens? You've seen this before. You know what happens. One time leads to another time that leads to another time that leads to another time. And suddenly you're not coming to church. Suddenly you're not going to the studies. Suddenly you're not involved in spiritual things. And the most important thing in life is now your kids' extracurricular activities. I have family members, not in my immediate family, but I have family members whose life revolves around baseball. And they go to church. They're spiritual. But every Sunday, I can count on seeing something about their baseball game. I could see something about, you know, whatever is going on in the sports world. We have to be very careful because we have the responsibility to try to bring up our kids in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's our responsibility. And as a leader of the home, you are responsible, not your wife. You are responsible for saying, we are going to church. We are going to go to the studies. We are going to do this because that's what we need to do spiritually. That's what happens. That's what needs to happen whenever we make decisions every day and plant these seeds in our kids. I can tell you, you can ask people who made the wrong decision, whose kids are already grown up, and they're out of the church. You go talk to them, and they will tell you, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. But our leadership as fathers is not the only thing that we need to be concerned about. We also need to be concerned about how we live our life. Now, it's my understanding, I think Danny talked a little bit about this last week, but I want to talk a little bit about it from the standpoint of a father. Because the truth is, to be spiritually driven means to be spiritually disciplined. If you can't discipline yourself spiritually, then you're not spiritually driven. You're not doing the things that you need to do. Look at what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22. Through 23, cut it off there a little bit. But it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The context that it's talking about right before this is walking by the Spirit is directly opposed to walking by the flesh. And it talks about the works of the flesh prior to this. Now, if we're going to be spiritually disciplined, we need to see what the Spirit produces in our lives when we're being spiritually disciplined, when we're following after the Spirit. And when we turn to the fruit of the Spirit, a lot of times we think of that being a mark of a Christian, right? These are the Christian qualities somebody ought to have as a Christian. But not only that, it also is the mark of being a spiritually driven dad. And I highlighted just a couple of words here. I highlighted patience and self-control, because really what this comes down to is saying no to your flesh, saying no to what you want to do, saying no what the devil's trying to get you to do, and saying yes to God and His Spirit. And that's what you have to do in all of these, but especially patience and self-control. And so I want to ask, where do you lack patience and self-control? Is it on the road? Do you have road rage? I'll be honest here. I've had road rage before. It's difficult when someone cuts you off on the road. But God said, have patience, right? That's what the Spirit produces. Are you not being treated fairly at your job or at home? Do you feel like everyone's against you, and so you have an excuse to lash out and not be patient? Do you spend too much time watching sports at nights or on the weekends? I'll tell you, in my life, one of the hardest things I've had to do is to turn off the Astros games. I know y'all aren't Astros fans, but I think you get the picture. You have to make sure that this is not controlling your life, but you're going to make the decision that you need to make. Are you constantly scrolling through social media? Can you not control yourself? And you just want to see what's going on in people's life? Are you overindulging in food? Do you constantly make sure you're satisfied from a physical standpoint and take care of yourself physically and trying to make sure you're going to eat a lot of food? Are you being infatuated in other women and their lack of clothes? Now that's, I know that's bold, but guys, this is real. This is telling ourselves no every day and saying yes to what God needs us to do and what His Spirit will produce in our life. The Bible puts it like this in Hebrews chapter 12 about discipline. In verse 7 it says, it is for discipline that you have to endure. It's tough, but verse 10 says, for they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good that we may share His holiness. It's difficult. You're going to have to endure it. But it talks about our discipline as Christians like a father disciplines his kids. And so on one side of the coin, this is important for us as fathers to recognize that you need to discipline your kids. That it's not going to be easy. They're going to have to endure that. But we need to continue in that as the Bible shows. But it's not just about their discipline. It says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. We talked a couple times this morning about you being the trainer for your kids. But I want you to know this morning that your kids are not the only ones that are in training. You're still in training yourself. What do you think is going to happen if you constantly discipline your kids and your kids see an undisciplined father disciplining them? Well, that's going to be kind of, you know, opposite. They're going to see two different types of things and they're going to be confused. We need to make sure that we're disciplined as fathers in our homes. We need to make sure that when our kids see us, that they're going to see a father who does what God tells them to do and not just tell their kids what to do. Because that's going to speak volumes. Proverbs puts it like this. Proverbs 20, verse 7, the righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them. So your attitude every day, your behavior, the habits that your children see are going to impact them for the rest of their lives. Now, can anyone honestly be blameless? Can you just be perfect and always do what God wants you to do? No. But I heard it presented like this one time, and I think it's very true. When there's chaos in your home, when there's bad things happening in your home, can your kids point to you and say that you're guilty first? Whenever there's bad decisions being made, are you the first person that people think of that's guilty? Can they blame you? We need to be better as fathers and dads in the home. And this comes only by living a righteous life and asking for forgiveness when we do wrong. The way we live our life is the way our kids will pick up that and live their life. Not just by what you say, but by what you do. In closing this morning, I want to talk about a man in the Bible that was a spiritual leader, and that's Joshua. You remember Joshua? You know, after Moses had led the children of Israel up to the promised land, his sin prevented him from leading them into the promised land. And God said, I'm going to choose Joshua to lead the people into the promised land, into the land of Canaan. And so he did that. And they were in Canaan for quite some time. Some years passed, and he becomes an old man. Well, one day he gathers all the children of Israel and he gathers the leaders of Israel and he talks to them about what God has done for them in their life. He said, God has delivered us out of the hands of the Egyptians. He's led us all the way into Canaan. He's done all these types of things for us. And he said, but your fathers served other gods. Your fathers turned to idols and served them and worshiped them. But today, you have the choice. You have the choice today of whom you will serve. And he said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve God. I don't know where you came from in your life, how you were brought up in your home as a kid. I don't know what all happens to you every day. But what I do know is this. God has blessed all of us as Christians and as fathers. But only you can decide in your home who your family is going to serve. And as a father, you need to be the spiritually driven leader. You need to be a spiritually driven dad to say, we're going to do what God wants us to do. And whenever I wake up every day, it's another opportunity to lead my family spiritually, to do what God wants me to do, to instill the Bible in their hearts, to go to church, to know the people at the church, to teach them the fruit of the Spirit, and for them to see that in my life. So who are you serving today? Are you serving God the Father in your life as a father? Or are you serving this world, your job, holding up your reputation, trying to live your life through your kids and their sports and extracurricular activities? It's clear that we need to be a spiritually driven dad in the lives of our kids. And I hope this morning that this will motivate you and encourage you, because every day your kids are getting older and one day they're not going to be at home anymore. But everything you did every day will gradually grow and grow and grow and shape them into who they need to become, and that's children of God. That's the goal, is for them to be baptized and to be in the church and to live a life after God.